Luke chapter 23, as well as Matthew 27, but I'm going to read from Luke 23. One of the nice things about the internet and social media, we can see, or I can see, what other preachers are preaching on this morning. As many of them post their thoughts, or at least a thought. One of the bad things about social media is that we can tell what other preachers are preaching on, and then we have to settle for this. For me. But I guess that's part of it. We take the good and the bad. And, some are preaching, or at least one is preaching on the obedience of the disciples as they went into town and followed the directions of Christ as he told them to go get the donkey. And they immediately went. Now, how many of us would have done that? I mean, seriously consider the circumstances. How many of us would have been so willing to go? We're going to go to a stranger and say, hey, the Lord wants that donkey. Mm-hmm. You know, we can read that kind of stuff and we can just go right over top of it. When we stop and really think about it, that's an incredible thing that those disciples so willingly went and followed the directions of the Master so well. There's some that are talking about the palm branches, the meaning of the palm branches, the meaning of the donkey being ridden, the meaning of the word Hosanna, all within the context. And some of it may be a deeper context than what we're commonly used to. It may take it deeper than what we think about on a normal basis. All that was taking place, and yet in the back of our mind, we have to keep it in our thinking as well, that Jesus wept. I know that those two words are in reference to the death of Lazarus, but he also wept at this point. As he came up over the hill at Bethany, Bethphage, and came up over to look out over the eastern gate of Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley, seeing the city of Jerusalem and realizing what was taking place as he came in. He cried. He wanted to bring them under his wings as a mother hen brings the chicks under her wings. But they would not. It's a whole context that falls into it. The week as it unfolded before them, and the sorrow of the Master, the sadness and the grief, the anguish that was visible in the Garden of Gethsemane. This morning I'm basically going to continue on with what I was preaching about last week, in a sense. But I want to read here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. I want to read just a few verses, beginning with verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. In the first part of 35, and the people stood beholding. And then if we go back to the Matthew account, and see in Matthew chapter 27, and I want to pick up with that verse that held our text last week. Matthew 27, verse 36. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now last week I spoke basically from the three words, they watched him. 4 years ago this season, I preached a message from this same passage in Luke, as well as here in this passage of Matthew. And the entirety of that message, of that time, was speaking about the indifference that is surrounding that situation. Last Sunday, you might recall that I also mentioned the word indifference, talking about the indifferent soldiers and the indifferent people may even have represented the largest portion of people was the ones that were indifferent. This morning, I want to shift just a little bit. And I want to look at the last two words of that text from last week. Last week, they watched him. This morning, I want us to look at him there. Him there. That may be an odd connection of words. We have the person and the place. The person we would easily recognize as the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Glory, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He who was rich but came to be made low. He left the splendor of heaven, as we heard just moments ago, knowing his destiny. He was the King of Glory. He's the one that was seated at the right hand of the Father. He received homage and worship from the host of heaven. He was the one that John spoke about in John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Capital W, Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And there's a great big gap in between those two verses that are listed there in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And in that gap, we realize that the Word was with God in the beginning. And the Word is who created things with God. Nothing was created that He did not create. So we see Him, the person, as being the God of the universe, the Son of God, the part of the Trinity, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's been known to experience glory and honor and receive homage and worship. The place in this context is the place of the cross, the place of the skull. He's the place of death. Extended on a cursed tree, besmeared with dust and sweat and blood. See there the King of Glory, see, sinks and expires the Son of God. Him there. When we see Him there, when it's applied to heaven, it would be fitting and it would be right. It's something that we can get excited about and something that is glorious and picturesque and majestic as we picture Him in heaven. That's a good picture when we see Him there. Even when we see Him as it's applied to the manger scene, lying in the manger, that is a cause for wonder and awesome experience and exuberant joy. Seeing Him there in the manger scene is certainly something that would cause us to be joyful and happy. Seeing Him in the context or as it's applied to the humble Nazareth home might be astonishing to us because He left the splendor of heaven. For our sakes, He became poor. They watched Him there. When we see Him there on the mountainside in the nighttime praying, getting alone with His Heavenly Father, getting away from all the things of life and the burdens of life and the multitudes that would compass Him and surround Him and press in upon Him, getting away from all of those things to pray and to see God. We can even enjoy that scene and realize that He was praying for the people and the needs around Him. But on the other side of it, could it be that as we see Him there, it's because He did not have a place to lay His head? He was poor. As we approached the context of the verses that have been read and the scene that is before us for this Palm Sunday even, we can see Him there as it's applied to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the reason that takes Him to Gethsemane, the circumstances that takes Him to that place of privacy and aloneness all by Himself, and the disciples are in another location, in two different locations, and He's asked them to stay awake and pray, and they fall asleep, and in the midst of their sleeping, in the midst of their slumber, He is in anguish of spirit and in anguish of soul. So much so, you and I can't even begin to comprehend the blood that mingled with His sweat as it's poured, oozing from His pores. The hardest of hearts should be able to be broken at this point when they picture Him, if they are able to picture Him there in that scene, realizing that that scene represents the unworthiness of our condition, and yet He, in His great worth, takes upon Him our sin. I can't help but be reminded of the cup that He was asking God to remove from Him, if at all possible. Father, if it be Your will, remove this cup from me. What was all of that about? And I'm reminded of the message that Edward gave us a number of years ago, and it goes over in my mind, and there's times that I go back and I reread it. I look at it over and over again, and I've shared it with a number of people, the reality of what is taking place here in the Garden of Gethsemane as we watch Him there. I don't mean to be hard on anybody this morning, but sometimes I think we come to church and we lose sight of the reality of the price that He paid just because it's become customary to us, and we can do all sorts of stuff in the midst of church rather than worship. I know we have a lot of things on our mind, and those things press in upon us, and they distract us. The things of the past week, the anticipations of the week ahead, all of those things come in and distract us and to press in upon us. But as we focus in and we look at Him there as represented or applied to the Garden of Gethsemane, it would cause us, if we are focusing in on who He is and what He has done, to bring us to the point of humility and worship and awe of the King of Kings. But we're quickly brought back to the scene of the context of these verses. Him there. He's on the cross. It passeth all understanding. I can't help to bring in the indifferent spirit, the cruel indifference of those that watched. But forgetting those at this point, laying aside the indifference that may have surrounded the cross. We here this morning are surely of the crowd that wouldn't have that indifferent spirit a part of our lives. We would be focusing in more on the reality of what has taken place. And we would rise up and come to the cross in our mind to say and to be thankful for that plan of salvation that removed sin and guilt from us. Along with that, removing the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He loved us. He gave himself for us. What torture and agony that he carried, that he shouldered, that he willingly laid himself down for us in our stead, in our place. Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin if on Jesus thy sins were not laid? Oh, why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood if his dying thy debt had not paid? When we realize the reason why he did what he did, when we feel the importance of why he did what he did and how he did what he did, when we recognize that, then certainly it brings us to the penitent form of faith reaching through the cross to the Lamb of God. And so this Easter season, this Palm Sunday, when people in the first Palm Sunday were celebrating the triumphal entry, perhaps they were completely focused on him coming to be the Redeemer of Israel so that Roman rule would be broken and the Romans would be sent back to Rome and they could live free from that and Jesus would be their earthly king and the disciples would have political authority and the disciples would have some kind of a power among the people and all that they were looking forward to, but because Jesus then came as a humble servant to be slain, they forsook him and fled. One denied him and one actually betrayed him. When the reality of his service to mankind became known. You and I today as well, looking back with hindsight, are able to realize it afresh and anew, more than what they knew looking forward, and realizing that he did it for us. Able to bring us into the Easter Sunday celebration that he is alive. And by being alive, he answers the needs our soul. They saw him. They watched him there. There were the mockers and there were the worshipers. They saw him. They watched him there. The mockers were reviling him. The worshipers were repenting. The thief on the cross said, "Remember me when you come to your kingdom." The centurion said, "Surely this was the Son of God." What is our response as we see him there today? Let's stand together. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And because of that scene, what took place on Calvary, you and I can sing a new song, Amazing Grace. Does it cause your heart to say, praise God? Does it cause your heart to say, hallelujah? He did it so that you and I could have a home in heaven. So that we could have life and have it more abundantly. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Praise God. So that we could have life more abundantly. Not only in the world to come, but in this world as well. Thank the Lord. He's worthy of our worship this morning. He's worthy of our adoration, our praise, our humble, repentant heart, that He came to carry my sin. Calvary, as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice is able to wash all of our sins away. Praise His name. Let's rejoice. Rejoice in what He has done for us. Praise God.